Okay, so the first step in building a high-quality targeted list is to focus on organizations and industries where you would have the highest probability of success, either because of your background, experience, skills, client roster, specialized knowledge, location, or because of current changes or growth in that industry or sector. Next, you need to focus on the job titles of people who tend to hire freelancers in your field, or who, with the right message, would at least consider doing so. So essentially, this process of list building is about three key things. The first is identifying organizations you want to go after. The second is identifying specific individuals within those organizations that you want to send a warm email pitch to. And the third is finding the email addresses for those specific individuals you've identified. This is why it's important to have your ideal client profile, because without it, it's difficult to do a good job with the first two items on that list, which are identifying the best organizations and the best individuals within those organizations to go after. By the way, you don't have to create just one list. You can, in fact, as I mentioned earlier, create a few different lists. Each could be based on a specific set of criteria. In fact, if you have more than one ideal client profile, you should probably create one list for each profile. And in some cases, you can even create two or three lists out of one ideal client profile alone. For instance, you can create a general list of mid-sized businesses in your area only, and that could be a location-based list. Another list could be of companies in an industry you have specific experience in. It could be an experience-based list. And another list could be made up of companies in a number of industries that market products to a specific market that you know a lot about. So that could be more of a knowledge-based list. In terms of the size of your list, that's really up to you. And we'll talk more about some execution strategies later on in this program. We'll actually discuss how many emails to send out every week and so on. But for now, I would say that starting out with just 25 to 50 names is enough to get you started. Consider this your starter list. It's going to be a list you're going to use to get going with, and one you're going to continually add names to. So don't worry too much about the size of the list for now. Plus, as you'll see throughout this program, one of the keys to success with email prospecting is to focus more on quality, more on relevance and personalization, and less on the quantity. Okay, so where do you find prospects for your list? Now, you might be tempted to rent or buy a list from a list provider such as InfoUSA, Hoovers, OneSource, and companies like that. But the objective here is not efficiency and volume. Again, the objective is to create the most responsive list possible, a list that really makes sense for you. That's tough to do if you're grabbing names blindly or trying to quickly assemble a huge list. Instead, it really pays off to compile your list manually. In fact, over the next hour in this lesson, my colleagues Pete Savage, Steve Slonwhite, and I are going to show you some of the best sources to go to for company names, organization names, and the names of individuals you want to contact within those organizations. The material that follows came from a teleseminar we did recently on compiling a top-notch list. So that makes this a fairly long lesson. In fact, it's the longest lesson of this program. As you go through it, you're going to notice that we point out great sources for both organizations and individuals, and of course, our contact information. However, most of the sources we point out here are going to be for finding company names or organization names that might be better aligned with your ideal client profile. But then in the next lesson, we're going to dive much deeper into finding people's names, their titles, and of course, their email addresses. So hang tight. We're going to get into some real neat research strategies coming up.
So let's get started with the 12 kick butt strategies for assembling your best prospect list ever. Now, one of the most misunderstood and intimidating aspects of promoting your solo business is assembling a list of good prospects, prospects who are likely to be interested in the type of services you provide. Where do you find the names of these people? Should you buy a list or rent a list? Should you put something together on your own with information you find from a variety of sources? Exactly where do you start? These are all great questions because the quality of your prospect list impacts, well, it impacts everything. If you have a high quality prospect list, you dramatically increase your chances of getting the clients, the projects, the income, and especially the lifestyle you want as a freelancer or solo professional. But, and this is a big but, if you don't have a top-notch prospect list, achieving that ideal or even getting your business off the ground at all is a lot tougher to do. So that's what you're going to be learning over the next hour, how to compile a list of prospects that are likely to be interested in the services you offer. And joining me today to help explain these 12 strategies to you are my colleagues from thewealthyfreelancer.com, Ed Gandia and Pete Savage. Welcome, Ed. Welcome, Pete.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
Thanks, great. Steve, and hi to everyone on the call.
So let's get right to it. Ed, where do you start this process of putting together a top-notch prospect list?
Well, I think a couple of questions that you need to ask yourself first. And one of them is, the first one is to give some thought to the job titles you should be going after, actual job titles of individuals. So specifically, I would be focusing my list on the job titles of people who tend to be freelancers in my field, or at least those job titles the right message would consider hiring someone in my field. So the first thing is pick job titles you're going to go after. The second big question is really thinking about organizations and industries where you would have the highest probability of success. And by that, I mean, either because of your background, your experience, your skills, your client roster, specialized knowledge, where you're located, or just because of the current changes or growth in that particular industry. So give that some thought. First, the job titles, specific job titles, and secondly, organizations and industries where you think you have the highest probability of success. Just to give you an example, the best prospect lists are marketing managers in high-performing mid-sized software companies, and specifically software companies that market in-demand software systems for hot or growing industries. So that's kind of a mouthful, but notice how specific I am with this criteria. So I've identified the most receptive job title, which would be marketing managers, and that's in my case. I've also named the industry I prefer to focus on, which is software. Also, the fact that the company must be doing well financially, that's important to me. And the type of software products they must market are actually systems that are in high demand. So I'm very specific there. And then the types of customers they go after, which in my case are organizations in hot or growing industries. So you don't have to get that specific, and you don't have to create one list. I mean, you can create several lists, some based on location, some based on areas where you have a lot of experience, or some where you really know a lot about the target market that your prospects are targeting. So let's say that you're an accountant, you know a lot about accounting, of course. You could target, say accounting software companies. Or if you're practice law right now, or if you've practiced law in the past, anything legal could be a hot area or high probability area for you. So just make sure to target those areas and create separate lists if that makes sense to do so in your case.
Great. I'm going to try to say that myself. High probability prospect. Say that
a lot of P's.
If you can do it. So you focus on the job titles of the people who are likely to hire your particular type of freelance service and the types of organizations and industries that have the highest probability of hiring your type of services. And it's interesting, Ed, I met a freelance photographer last week who specializes in photography for major events and conferences. So his target, his job titles that he would go after would probably be event planners. And the organizations would be obviously organizations that put on these large conferences.
Sure.
Good example of the way he would probably target his market and build his list. And also you can create more than one list. You can create a list of local businesses who may be interested in your services and perhaps a list of key companies in a niche industry across the country
who may be interested in your services as well. So you can create more than one list. Just a quick follow-up question, Ed. Should you buy a list or rent a list, or should you compile a list on your own?
There's no doubt in my mind you should compile one on your own. I just to give you an example, I just heard from a freelancer a couple weeks ago who recently bought a list and spent a lot of money mailing to that list, and more than half of it was inaccurate. And a lot of that, we suspect, had to do with the recent layoffs. So, the inaccuracies, they go out of date very quickly. Costs are another factor. And, since you don't need thousands of names to do well with any kind of marketing effort, if you do it right, it's really not worth buying or renting, in my opinion.
Yeah, according to statistics from the U.S. Postal Service, 18% of business addresses change every year. And those are just the businesses. Can you imagine how many contact names and businesses change every year? So if a company is putting together a mailing list that they're going to sell, they probably check it once a year. So the chances that it's going to be 10, 20, 30% out of date are very, very high. So you're taking a risk with mailing lists and renting a list. If you're a huge, big-time marketer, of course, you can afford that risk. But for freelancers like us, it's not worth the risk. Here's a question for Pete. How many prospects do you actually need on your prospect list? Do you need 10 names or 10,000 names, Pete?
Yeah, that's a good question that always comes up. And it depends on one thing, and that is your income goals. So the more aggressive your goals are in terms of your income level, the larger the list you need. And Ed's correct when he says you don't need thousands of names, but a good number to shoot for is 150 to 200 total names. That's a good rule of thumb. Start there and concentrate on quality and repeated effort over the course of a year or longer. And what I mean when I say repeated effort is don't go to the trouble of creating a great list using all these strategies and then only sending them one sales letter, for example. There's all kinds of stats to prove the fact that new prospects need exposure to you multiple times, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, before they express an interest in your services. That's just a marketing fact. It's a numbers game. So if you have 150 names, don't contact them once and then go out and try to build a new list if you don't get immediate results. Keep at it with different ways to touch on them. And another idea here in terms of follow-up and multiple touches is to essentially create two lists. And what I mean by that is you take your main list of 150 names, let's say, and you identify on this list your top 10 or your top 15 list of prospects, which would be your dream clients, your top 10. And these are the ones that you'll approach in a more focused fashion, more customized fashion. These 10 or 15 companies, you would visit their websites frequently. You could follow them in the media, learn more about their business, and get more personal in your follow-up by sending a physical article that you've clipped from a magazine that's relevant or including a personal note. And maybe you'll actually include phone follow-up with these 15 people, with your dream clients. And that gets rid of a lot of the anxiety around calling, which a lot of people have. You might not want to call 150 people after you send a sales letter as follow-up, and that's totally understandable. You don't have to. Just limit your calls to this dream list. And I would say don't just randomly pick this dream list. Of course, you should know that, boy, if I get in the door with this company, based on what I know about the company, they'd turn into a great client, I think.
So in summary, then, you need about 150 to 200 names, and obviously quality names, not just any names. But another great idea, and I love this idea, Pete, is to create a dream list of perhaps the top 10 clients or potential clients you want to go after, and then invest some serious time in building your relationships with those prospects and turning those prospects into clients. Because obviously, if you can build your business on a dream list of clients, what an amazing business you would have.
Yeah, what more do you want?
Yeah, what more do you want? You got your favorite clients. Here's a question for Ed. What's the best way to record and maintain this list? You just developed a list of 100, 150 names. How do you keep track of these names?
Keep it simple. Keep it simple. A simple spreadsheet with column labels for your person's last name, first name, job title, company, street address, city, state, zip, the typical stuff, country, phone number and email address if you have it. And I would also add a source column so you know where you got the name, and that can help you a lot when you're trying to identify your responses, where your responses are coming from, which prospects seem to really respond to your message. You can just very quickly determine if there are some sources that did better for you than others did.
Okay, so create a simple spreadsheet on your computer, record all the appropriate contact information, and you made a very important point, Ed, track where you're getting these prospect names so you know which sources are your goldmine sources for good prospect information. Is there ever a reason to move into a more sophisticated contact management system like ACT or Salesforce.com or some of this other contact management software?
You know, possibly. I think once your business has grown to a certain level and you're generating income and, you know, get tracking, follow-up with these prospects is becoming a little more difficult, yes. But, at first, I wouldn't even bother. Even if your business is already established, you know, learn how to do this with a spreadsheet. You know, get good at that first and then consider something like that. I see that a lot of people just get stuck because then they don't take any action because, oh, well, wait a minute, I got to look at a contact management system first and I don't have time for that. Next thing you know, 6 months have passed, and because of that, they haven't even done anything. So do the tracking that's simplest, that's going to get you to take action the fastest.
That's great advice. Question here for Pete. Let's start getting down to some specifics. Where do you go to find these quality prospect names?
Okay, so let's get into the 12 strategies. And the problem here is not necessarily finding names. The biggest problem is that there's too many names out there. So the key to success with building a top-notch list is to go in the most efficient direction and choose the best sources possible. So let's talk about list building, and we're going to do it primarily using manual labor, if you will, for the most part, like Ed mentioned. It takes longer, it takes more effort, but because you're on this call, you're going to know how to do it efficiently by using these 12 strategies. So here's where you start. Strategy number one is go deeper with existing clients. That's the best place to look. If you already have an existing freelance business, don't overlook your existing clients as source of leads. And it sounds so obvious, and people on the call might be saying, yeah, I've heard that before, but ask yourself, how often have you done this? Because it's been my experience that the vast majority of freelancers don't actually execute on this idea and dig deep within their clients for more business. And I'm talking here about asking for internal referrals from your clients, asking your client, who else in your company might be interested in my photography services or my project management services or, you know, my auditing services, whatever it is you do. Get into the habit of asking your clients for the names of peers and colleagues who could also benefit from your services. And, you know, as you're doing this within your client relationship, make sure you let your clients know the breadth of the services you offer. So don't just assume that they've been to your website and they know your list of services. You know, let's say if you're a videographer, for example, tell your clients, you know that I've produced some corporate training videos for you, but did you know I also do marketing videos? And I also have a service where I film on location. I can come out and film seminars and events for you. And you have to bring this to people's attention. And too often freelancers lose projects to competitors because their own clients are unaware of the breadth of services that they offer. And this is what you're going for here. You want to start to cultivate a list of names of other people within an organization whom you're already doing business with that would like to know about your services and that can offer you more business.
Yeah, you make a very important point there, Pete, and I found that in my own business quite a bit. If you're a freelancing, let's say you're a freelance writer and you start working with a client at a big company like 3M, well, there's 50 different departments at 3M, and each department has a marketing manager. And you could, if you cultivate that particular client that you're working with and learn about these other marketing managers and get referrals, you can build a very powerful prospect list of potential clients in that one company alone.
Yeah, you definitely can. And oftentimes, if the company's big enough, and you don't have to make your career working for big companies, but like you said, Steve, many people will fill the same role. There could be 10 marketing managers even in the same department for some large companies, and it's just a matter of bringing it to their attention, saying, who else do you know that I can help? Sometimes you'll get a handful of names.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, Ed, what's another great source of prospect?
Well, another great one that a lot of people overlook is tapping your current network. So this is going outside of your clients. And I think after going to existing clients, this is the next best place to start. You know, and what typically happens is we think, well, I really don't know a lot of people who work for companies that use what I do. You can't do that. You have to remember that somebody, the people in your personal and professional networks may not be direct prospects for you, but they probably know someone in a different company or organization who could be a great prospect. So if you don't really spread the word, and by spreading the word, I'm talking about doing two things. One of them could be emailing your contact list with the information, saying, here's what I'm doing. You know, I'm looking for new clients. This is why I'm different. These are the services I offer. Do you know of anyone? And then calling people individually. One thing I did when I started my freelance business is I scheduled lunches every couple of weeks with different people whom I knew. And even though I knew that some of them weren't direct prospects for me, I knew that there was a chance they could refer me to someone. And just by telling them what I was looking to do and why and what services I was offering, spreading the word that way actually landed me a couple of very large clients. One of them is still a big client of mine 5 years later. So most of these lunches didn't really pay off directly, but one or two gave me huge payoff. So don't overlook the people in both your personal and professional networks. And specifically, let me give you some areas to look. So, of course, friends, some of your spouse's friends, your neighbors, and by their employers, businesses, or their contacts, fellow church members, parents from your children's school, of any other social group, and their employers, businesses, professional contacts as well. Any previous clients, a lot of people move around right now. So, you know, you may have been doing work there, but something stopped. Well, now one of your contacts is at a different company. Well, may as well contact them. They could probably use you. Anyone who has ever inquired into your services before, so has either called you, emailed you, you've met in a networking event. So these are people you can reach out to again. Anyone who has subscribed to your newsletter or downloaded anything from your website, that's another obvious one. So go back to that file. And anyone who you know who's a potential referral source, so specifically other freelancers in your field or freelancers who offer complimentary services, maybe a printer you've worked with in the past who does business with companies that may be in your target market. So think beyond your direct contacts, the people you know the best. Yes, start there, but go way beyond that and create a master list and start contacting these people.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. I think most of the people on this call, if they were to sit down and make a list of the amount of people they know in their personal network and their professional network and their community networks, they'd be surprised how long that list is. And I find in general that people and professionals are happy to refer you if they only find out who you are and what you do. So spreading the word is an excellent strategy for building a really quality a prospect list, and one that I think a lot of people miss out on. So here's a question for Pete. Give us another source of prospect names, Pete.
Sure. Okay, I'm going to give two in a row here. So strategy number three is your current or your previous employer. So everyone on the call will either have a current or a previous employer for the most part. It's another often overlooked strategy. Is if you're still employed, the company that you're working for right now may be worth keeping in mind and staying in touch with once you go out on your own. So if you're thinking of making the leap into freelancing, you still have an employer, whenever possible, try to leave on very good terms. And then when you're out on your own, contact your other previous employers. Let them know what you're doing. Ask your contacts there if they can put you in touch with the right individual. Really think of everyone that you've had a connection with by way of your current or past employers and reach out to them. And then along the same lines, here's strategy number four, which is previous employer's competitors. So you really can't lose here. If your previous employers aren't interested or able to hire you as a freelancer, you might want to consider pursuing some of their competitors, especially if your knowledge or your experience in your field are really going to come into play in the types of services that you're offering. So make sure when you're pitching your services not to bury those experiences and skill sets into your background. Really, really dig in there and get your email or your letter or your phone call. Get that information front and center. You know, I have experience in this industry because I, et cetera.
That is a great tip, Pete.
Yeah, and just as a caveat to that, you want to be careful, of course, that you're not violating any non-disclosure or non-compete agreements with the previous employer. And that's really not, it's often not the case. But if you've ever signed any sort of agreement, of course, you don't want to violate this. Stay on the legal side in your actions. And
yeah, or you'll get yourself into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
You might appreciate this story, Pete. I was speaking with a freelance designer just a couple months ago who got laid off from her corporate job. She left on good terms. She was downsized, right-sized, whatever you want to call it. But then she started contacting people she knew. It was a large company. She started contacting people she knew in the company, and she got her first client from a manager in a completely different division of that company that she didn't even know or hadn't met before. So it really paid off for her to start with, you know, to look at her previous employer.
Yeah, it happens all the time. One of my previous employers was 14 people in size. It was a small company. There were 14 people worked there. And when I became a freelancer, they were like my second or third client. I started doing work for them right away on a freelance basis.
And the great thing about these strategies so far that we've talked about is that none of them cost any money. It's based on information resources that you already have at your fingertips, if you only would tap them. Give us another strategy, Ed. What about networking? I know you had a lot of or had some success with that strategy in building your own prospect list.
Yeah, I have, and specifically with what I call smart local networking. And I say that because I'm not a believer in just the traditional networking that a lot of people think must be done to be successful out there locally. I'm actually kind of shy, believe it or not. And even though I was in sales for a long time, I've never been good at working a room. So the thought of going into one of these, you know, meet and greet, smoozing events and shaking hands and collecting business cards, I've never been really good at that. I'm really good one-on-one. But what I found years ago was that where I really excelled and I got good results was getting actively involved in the organization. You know, specifically an industry association, industry organization. So I would join some of the committees or the board, and I would actually, of course, you have to volunteer more time to do that. But what happens is when you start doing that, you meet the people, the other people in the committee, the other people on the board, and a lot of those tend to hire freelancers. Again, I'm assuming that, you know, that you're going to go to organizations where your prospects hang out. If you're going to go somewhere, Chamber of Commerce, for example, but you have no idea there's going to be prospects there, that could be a waste of time. So this is assuming that you've already targeted that organization or that association because you believe that there's a lot of prospects there for you. So just get actively involved. This is not something that pays off from day one, but over the course of a few months or over a few years, people start seeing how you work and your work ethic, and they get to know you. And next thing you know, they're either hiring you directly or referring you to others who are not going to shop you around. That's actually some of my best clients have come from that method. Other than industry associations where your prospects hang out, you may want to consider networking organizations that are for freelancers and independent contractors. For example, here in Atlanta, where I live, there's a group called Freelance Forum. Now, I haven't gotten business directly from this, but many other freelancers have, and it's just a community of freelancers that meet monthly, and they talk about issues that affect freelancers, and they trade leads and war stories, and a lot of people get business from that. And another great source locally would be a group called BNI, which stands for Business Network International. Essentially, it's a leads club. And it allows you to go in, you meet weekly, and you tell people what you do and what kind of prospects you're looking for. And then people dig into their own personal networks and give you referrals. I used to not be a fan of BNI, but I went to a meeting recently to check them out again, and I was actually very, very impressed. So I would seriously consider that if you want to make networking part of your strategy. And then lastly, online discussion forums and social media in your industry, again, where your prospects hang out. So if you live somewhere where you don't have these organizations, or if you want to mix it up a little bit, definitely go online. There's a lot of opportunity there to network.
Great, great. So if you're comfortable networking and working in a room, if you really are a good schmoozer, then obviously you should take advantage of that skill to make contacts at business and social events. But if you're more on the side, the shy side, the introverted side, like I am, for example, then you make some very good suggestions. Get involved in the association, and once you become involved, then it's a great way to get known and make new contacts and get the word out about your services. Something else about joining a membership association of any kind is that when you join, you often get access to the membership list. For example, if you were to join the American Marketing Association, for example, which is made up mainly of marketing executives, then you get access to the membership list. Now, there are some ground rules regarding how you can access and use that list. They often discourage mass mailings to try to sell something to that list, for example. But you know, if you follow the rules, it can be another very fast way to build a quality prospect list through membership lists. So, Pete, let's talk about another source of prospects.
Okay, let's talk about strategy number 6, which is company rankings. Publish company rankings in industry and trade publications. So I'm talking about magazines and journals that publish a list of the top companies in their field, and there's hundreds of them. MedAd News, for example, MedAd News magazine, they rank the top 100 biotech companies every year. They also rank the top 50 pharma companies every year. If you're targeting companies in that industry, then that's a great list to start with. You can get more general type of listings, like, for example, Profit magazine does the Profit 100. And some of these lists don't provide you with names and addresses. They just provide you with the company name. But some of these addresses actually do provide you. They'll profile an executive, or they'll have a contact person listed there. And you can start there. Or if they don't list the company info, or sorry, the individual info, you go to the company's website. Use the other tools that we're going to talk about here and find the right contact and his or her mailing address. So, you know, it's not uncommon for an industry to have one or two publications that publish these annual rankings. So the more familiar you get with your industries that you're servicing, the easier it's going to be for you to find these publications. But remember, you don't have to be tightly focused on a very, very specific niche industry to do this. Look at some of the more general businesses that are doing well type list, and that's usually a top 100 or top 50 list.
Great, and also very current information as well when an online publication or a monthly magazine publishes such a list. The information, names, and contact information is usually rigorously up to date.
And a great place to start is Google, and we'll talk more about Google in a minute, but, you know, just Google a term like top U.S. insurance companies if that's your chosen niche, and, you know, you might be surprised at what turns up there. It's a good place to start.
Great, great. And Ed, tell us about strategy number 7.
Your local library. Believe it or not, I'm kind of a bookworm, and, you know, I'm used to. I was raised back when you needed something, you just go to the library, so that's one thing I did when I launched my business. And what I found was in talking to the reference librarian is there are dozens of industries out there that publish annual company directories. And now many of them won't publish actual names, but you can get a lot of different company names and addresses. For example, one of the ones I came across a few years ago is called Direct Marketing Marketplace, the networking source of the direct marketing industry. And this is published annually, and a lot of larger libraries will carry it, will carry the current version. And because I was targeting direct mailers in my case, then this was a really good list for me. These are people who actually did direct marketing. So as a direct marketing copywriter, this is a really hot list. So just go out there, see what they have. I think you might be surprised. I know it seems old-fashioned these days with Google and the Internet, but you may be surprised what you can find at the local library.
And the best libraries to go to is the closest library to you that has a business reference section. If it has a separate business reference section, the chances are it has a good library there of business directories and databases and CDs where you can get a lot of information. And just ask the reference librarian for the type of information you're looking for. Just ask him or her the type of companies you're looking for, the type of contact names you're looking for, and they'll help you out. Your local library is a great source. And again, another source that is available to you at no cost usually. So, Pete, tell us about strategy number eight.
So strategy number eight, we're going to stay local here, is your local business chronicle and local business directory. They're kind of two separate things. So if you're targeting local businesses, if your metropolitan area has one or if you're near an area that has one, consider subscribing to the local business chronicle, and that will help keep you up with what's going on in your local business community. It's a great way to identify potential prospects. Oftentimes employees who are movers and shakers are profiled in these publications. And it talks about, you know, good news stories, companies that are growing, expanding, changing strategies, acquiring competitors. Can often really be good targets because, you know, these events tend to create needs that can't completely be fulfilled by a company's current staff. So they'll need to bring on additional resources to, you know, compensate for this growth, to really make sure they have the types of people and the skill sets that will allow this growth to continue. And many of these publications put together an annual sort of list, a book of lists, which is a ranking of local companies by industries and sectors. And then oftentimes in these lists, they have the company name, the address, and sometimes even key decision makers are listed here. And that kind of, you know, another important add-on which that kind of leads into is what's called a local business directory. And that lists names and contact info for local businesses specifically. So get in touch with your city hall, and they'll probably direct you to an agency called, you know, the Economic Development Agency or whatever the equivalent is in your local area. The city where I used to live was not a big city as far as cities go. It was London, Ontario, which is a population of about 350,000. And I bought the local business directory it came on a CD-ROM at the time. It cost me $80, and there were hundreds of companies in there. Now, of course, I had to look at the directory and still, you know, make some decisions as to which of these companies am I going to target, but it gave me companies that were right on my doorstep, everything from medium-sized businesses to local satellite offices of international corporations. So that was a great resource, is to go and pick up a local business directory.
And some of these local business directories I found in general don't cost a whole lot. You usually get one for $50 to $100. I know the city right next to me, Mississauga, they have the Mississauga Business Directory. I think it's $49, and it lists every mid-sized to large company in Mississauga. And each business profile contains a lot of information, contact names, addresses, websites, the whole bit. So it's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
Now, Pete, I know you have a secret weapon when it comes to building a prospect list that you've had a lot of success with. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah. Okay. So the second part of this tip is secret. The first one is not so secret. So
okay.
Strategy number nine is Google, and there's no secret about Google. But I'll talk about Google, and then we'll drill down into a tip that I completely stumbled upon once when using Google, and it's just a gem, a gold mine of resources. So let's just start with Google. And Google is probably one of the best tools to find specific names within an organization. And most of the sources we've been talking about so far will give you names of organizations, but not in every case will they have the names and titles of the specific contacts you need. So to get those names, you know, good rule of thumb for a lot of things is go to Google. You might want to try using the site-specific search function in Google. It's a handy little feature, and it just lets you search for specific terms within a specific website. And so the command, if you're familiar with site-specific search, is you would do your keyword site on, you know, the name of the company.com, so, you know, acme.com. And let's say you're trying to get the names of some of the marketing managers at acme.com. You'd type this in the Google search area. You'd type, in quotes, marketing manager, and then in the site function, you'd type the site field, you'd type acme.com. And if the job title that you're looking for is made up of more than one word, like marketing manager, you just want to make sure you place those quotes around it and tells Google to search only for that specific term. So Google will then go to acme.com, and anywhere that the word phrase marketing manager appears, it will pop up a search result for you. And for marketing people specifically, oftentimes you'll find those folks listed in a press release. So if a company does or has ever done a press release, you might find a marketing manager's title on there, even though they're not specifically listed anywhere on the site in any sort of company directory, let's say. So I'm not talking about finding a company directory. I'm talking about all the pages on a site that might list a specific title, and that's the way to find that. But here's a special tip which I honestly stumbled across using Google, which has been so beneficial for me. And I don't think I've ever talked about this one before. We all have a favorite sort of tool on the call, Stephen, Ed, and I, and this one has been my favorite. Here's what happened. I wanted to find a marketing manager at Siemens Corporation. So I did the site search, and it led me to a marketing manager there at Siemens. But the page it took me to was not the Siemens website. Actually, all I did was in Google, I typed the words Siemens and marketing manager. I didn't use the site-specific search. It took me to the website for a marketing conference, and this person, the marketing manager at Siemens, was speaking at this conference. So I saw a picture of him and his name and at least a dozen other people who had the same type of role as him, who were instant matches for the types of prospects that I was looking for at the time. So then I realized, okay, look for industry events. Go out and specifically try and find industry events and conferences that are happening in your industry. Find the brochure of the speakers list. They're all online now, sometimes in a PDF. And those names of people are all in one spot. That is pure gold, is to just look for speakers. And usually these people are movers and shakers. They're making things happening at their company. And they're not often, or they're not always, executive-level people. So you'd be surprised at how easy it is to, you know, get in touch with them.
Great. So you have, so there's two main tips here, Pete. You have you can do a narrow search within a site for a particular job title, like marketing manager. And you do that by putting marketing manager in quotes, and then putting the command site colon, and then the name of the URL of that company into Google, and you could search for that, and that'll bring up search results for marketing managers just within that site. So if the marketing manager's name is mentioned on a press release or in a bio on that site or somewhere else, you'll find that person. And this other great tip is looking at just doing a general search, marketing manager, name of company into Google, and finding all these other places, perhaps events and conferences, where they may also be listed and profiled as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's a better summary, yeah.
that is a great tip. Here is a tool that may make that even quicker for people, is if you download the Google toolbar, it has a command where you can do a search within site without having to type in that site command. So if you go onto acme.com and you click on the Google toolbar search within site and just type in marketing manager, it'll do the same thing. It'll automatically do a search just within that website for that term. And that may be a quicker way to do it. So we got to move on here. So, Ed, there's another great source of actual names that you've used successfully in the past. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's called Jigsaw. So, you know, where Google, the specific strategy was Pete's favorite. Jigsaw is my favorite for finding names that you normally don't find in the about us section of a website. So these are people deeper within the organization who may be the actual decision makers for hiring freelancers in your field. And Jigsaw is basically a member maintained exchange, online exchange of downloadable company information. And it actually has, last time I checked, more than 12 million business contacts. So here's how it works. Let's say you've identified 100 companies you'd like to target, but you don't have the names of operations managers. Let's say that's the job title you're going after. You have some, but you don't have them all. Well, you can go into Jigsaw, and you can type in those companies. and actually search for that specific title. And if it finds them, it'll list them, and then you can buy them with points. You can buy their name and contact information with points, and you can either earn points by uploading some of your own personal or professional contacts or just buying them outright. I got on a monthly service one time, and I got a bunch of points for that, so that's how I got mine. I can tell you I've assembled some really targeted lists using Jigsaw, and I'm just constantly amazed at the depth and accuracy of the information it contains. Basically has a built-in reward mechanism for keeping the information accurate and up-to-date, so it rewards accuracy. And if somebody sees one of my contacts and they say, that's not right, I know that that person just left, they can correct it, and they get compensated with points for that. And I get points taken off, so plus my rating goes down. You always want to keep a fairly high rating. So Jigsaw is a great place to go after you've assembled your list of company names and you're looking to go deeper and find the actual names of people.
Great. And, of course, you can find more information on that site at jigsaw.com. And, Pete, give us another source.
So here's strategy number 11, and this is another favorite of mine, LinkedIn. It's a business-oriented social networking site. We've probably all heard of it. It's used for networking, obviously, professional networking. But listen to this. As of October, it had more than 50 million registered users in more than 200 countries. Now, the best way to use LinkedIn, it's such a rich source of information, is to find specific individuals. You need to join the site. It's free. Join the site and use its search feature. Okay, so it's very, very straightforward. LinkedIn has a pretty good interface, so it's easy to learn how to maneuver in there. If you're looking for, let's say, let's use Acme Corporation again. Let's say you're looking for an engineering manager. All you do is search for engineering manager, and the company Acme Corporation, and see what comes up. And you'll not only, in many cases, find the exact individual at that company right now, but you'll also find people who held that role at Acme in the past and have since moved on to other firms. So you get a huge bang for your buck in doing searches for using LinkedIn. And I just want to say, if you're hesitant about LinkedIn or social media, just completely put that aside for now. Set up a LinkedIn account. You really should get in there and set up a profile. And you should do that today, right after this call. Get in there and start using just for the search feature alone, because you're really going to find some useful and very, very accurate names by using LinkedIn. And it's completely free.
And there's another point to that, too. Another advantage to LinkedIn is that people look for service providers on LinkedIn as well. So if you have a LinkedIn profile, you have a chance of people who need your services finding you. Of course, if you don't have a LinkedIn profile, they won't find you. So it's a no-brainer. You've got to have a LinkedIn profile these days. And Ed, tell us about the final strategy we want to talk about today.
Well, this one's what's called the Investor's Business Daily Smart Select Composite Rating, kind of a mouthful. But here's where this came from. I noticed that when the recession was kind of starting, I was lucky enough to have several clients who were actually doing very, very well financially, and they were investing a lot in marketing. So I really didn't feel the pinch. It really wasn't until later that things got a little slow for me. But what I said to myself is I need to find more companies who are actually doing well in this economy, either because what they sell is in high demand in a slow market or because they're positioning themselves for strength when things turn around. So I thought of this thing. I had bought Investor's Business Daily, the daily newspaper, financial newspaper, and I noticed that they not only provided stock quotes, but they also publish its own financial performance rating for all these public companies, thousands of them. And they actually separate all companies by industry. And what that composite rating does is it takes, I don't know, 5 or 8 financial indicators, and it combines them into one score. And for each industry, it will assign a number from 1 to 99, with 99 being the highest score you can get. So what I did is I went to my target market, which is software, and I looked at companies that had, I think my criteria was 88 or higher. And I came up with that list of companies, and then I went to Jigsaw or Google and found the actual names of the job titles that I target. And I created a really powerful list of companies who are actually doing very well right now. Now, of course, stock performance doesn't always equal the companies that are investing a lot in your area of expertise. But in many cases, that is a very, very strong indicator. So just one way define better quality companies. It could also be a litmus test. So once you've compiled your list, you can see, based on these scores, how well they're doing.
Fantastic. Now, we covered a lot of information here. Let me just do a very quick summary, and then we're going to open up the call for questions. I'm sure a lot of the audience has some questions. Just let me go through the 12 strategies we covered so far just by title. Strategy number one is to go deeper with your existing clients. Don't ignore your existing clients. There are referrals available there if you simply ask and also you can expand your services with existing clients as well, just simply sometimes by just letting them know about the other services that you offer. Strategy number two, tap your network. Take a close look in your own professional network, your personal network, your community network. Spread the word about what you do and who you are and the services that you offer. You'd be surprised at the amount of contact names and referrals you can get just by tapping your own network. Strategy number three, don't forget about your current and previous employers. Your current and previous employers can be an excellent source of contact names and referrals. Strategy number four, I miscounted here. Strategy number five, smart local networking. And Ed did a great job of explaining how to leverage networking to generate referrals and contacts. Strategy number six, company rankings in industry and trade publications. Those top 100 lists can be an excellent source and a very accurate source of company information. Strategy number seven, your local library. Find the library closest to you that has a good business resource section. That section, chances are that section is a gold mine of information that you can use to build your contact list. Strategy number eight, your local business chronicle and business directory. Your local business directory, great source of contacts. Strategy number nine, Google, and be sure to use the insider tips that Pete shared with you there. Strategy number 10, Jigsaw. I'm embarrassed to say a year ago I'd never even heard of Jigsaw, and it's such a great source of contact names. Strategy number 11 is a real no-brainer, LinkedIn. Get a LinkedIn profile, leverage LinkedIn to build your contact list. It's an excellent resource. And finally, strategy number 12, Ed just talked about, Investor Business Daily Smart Select Composite Rating. So I'm sure many of you have questions. Lorna,